Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. We are live from our Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Keys are here with you on this Wednesday morning. We'll be joined in about an hour by Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com. We'll get his thoughts on the Brian Callahan hiring as well. Looking forward to that. Wes Rucker from GoVols 24/7 will join us at 7:30. Get his thoughts on a red-hot Tennessee men's basketball team and a pretty darn good week for Josh Heupel, both on the recruiting front and on the transfer portal front as well. So lots going well for the Tennessee Vols right now. We'll get into all that with Wes Rucker at 7:30. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, there's an obvious here when it comes to Brian Callahan of if he's taking over the head coaching duties and he's going to be involved with the play calling like we expect that he will be, the play calling part of it, which he's not done on a full-time basis before, is obviously very interesting. And we're going to see what kind of a play caller he is, how good he is, you know, what does he have the right feel for the game and the timing and all those things that we talk about when it comes to play calling in the NFL. So there's the obvious of that that's still yet to be discovered about Brian Callahan. When you look at the rest of the job and the idea of being, like I said yesterday, the CEO of the team and being in charge of the entire football team and, you know, worrying about hiring a staff, all these things, as we sit here today, what are we most interested to learn about Brian Callahan beyond the obvious of what the play calling is going to look like on Sundays?
Well, obviously, yeah, all the CEO stuff that you just have to see how it goes when it happens. I mentioned talking to Zach Taylor, and he has talked about that previously and talked about with me too a little bit about the him with the offense and how good he was as an overall motivator, CEO of the offense. Obviously, again, not the play caller, but in charge of everything else. So, you know, that's why usually coordinator is an obvious step before head coach. Basically, you have one half. You're the CEO of one half. Sometimes you get the special Dan Campbells who just can just not be a coordinator and be an effective head coach. But
what a guy.
Yep. But there's that. But also the thing that I'm really interested in finding out is what he does think about the defense. Is he going to go out and hire a someone mentioned Ron Rivera, you know, what a Schwartz, a Quinn, whatever, like someone who, and basically say, that's you, go do it, give us a good defense, all right, get it done. Or, you know, is he more, you know, I guess more involved. I mean, first of all, if you're head coach, you're still going to the defensive meetings, even if you technically farm out one side of the ball or the other and you're focused on your side of the ball. I think any decent head coach still has involvement, right? I mean, there's another example. So that's what people think about Zach Taylor, right? So people think about that with Zach Taylor. He's the offensive guy. It's just, hey, Lou, and a room. Yeah, it's your D, go ahead. Well, he was telling me stories like, you know, the play calling thing. He's like, I'd switch over to defense and say, okay, Brian, like you're calling the next three plays on offense.
Right.
That would happen all the time in a game. So that's the perception of Zach Taylor is exactly like coach who just totally hands it over to the other side. So I'm not saying, you know, that there'd be any complete separation from defense, but I still think there's a difference between are you hiring the – established D coordinator who you know, head coach type, who has been a head coach, and then that's all you, or is it more maybe he has a young know, defensive coach in mind? I mean, I don't know. Does Shane Bowen have a chance to stay on as D coordinator?
I'd be surprised, but I mean, I don't know that he doesn't have a chance, right?
I mean, yeah, I would guess no, but I don't know that. I mean, there's a case to be made, except that last year hurts it,
right?
But there is a case to be made for, like, the defensive staff and, you know, the success that they've had since 2021 and having continuity. But I think a big question there is how much of that was Vrabel. You lost Vrabel, who is a defensive coach, who is definitely a defensive X's and O's guy. How much does that, you know, take away from Shane Bowen?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. You know, I look at the – the staff too, and you know the defensive side of this is going to be really interesting. We talked yesterday about, you know, he's been around the league for a long time, and he's got connections there. You know, how can you build a staff? If I'm the Titans going through the interview process, you know, one of the questions I think you go through with every coach is, you know, what's your staff going to look like? What are some ideas that you have in mind for who you're bringing with you? Who's going to be your D coordinator? I mean, even in Callahan's case, like, who's the offensive coordinator going to be? You know, how involved are the Titans? You know, Caroline said this yesterday, and I agree. Let's say the Titans got through this interview process and they really like Thomas Brown too, right? Which, I mean, I guess they did, because they're gonna bring him in for a second interview. And they're like, you know what? We think you should really consider bringing Thomas Brown in for the OC job. I don't think there's anything wrong with the Titans saying, hey, I think we like this guy. I think you should consider it. I would have a problem if the Titans were like, hey, we're hiring you to be the head coach, and we're putting Thomas Brown with you as offensive coordinator. I don't think that's the right way to go about things.
No way. No, I agree. I mean, to me, like, that conversation, you know, I don't know if Brian Callahan was going to get a head coaching job, and he was up for jobs really the last two off seasons. So, you know, the 1 of 32 thing is certainly important, right? I mean, you don't know you're getting any other jobs. So if you have someone who really wants to hire you, you got to really think hard about that. But I would still hope that he had that conversation with them, and that he would not just take this and have an OC forced on him. Yeah. I think that's a bad way to start. I mean, again, it's like last year when, you know, Adam Strunk tried to put Vrabel and Carthon together. If you believe in this guy to the extent that you're not letting him get out of the building, and he is the first, although he's not official, but he's the first outside hire in this cycle, then I think you should trust his staff choices.
Yeah, I think so too. So that part of it is going to be really interesting to me. And then I go back to kind of the way that you construct your offense and the style of it. It goes beyond play calling. Like, are the Titans – everybody talks about moving into a quote-unquote modern offense, right, which we know drives us nuts. Are they – but from a stylistic standpoint, are they about to transition to a team? I think everybody would agree when in Cincinnati – it's not that they didn't want to run the football, because they did. I mean, Joe Mixon has had some good games running the ball. They've run the ball, you know, especially, you know, I heard Mo Egger on yesterday with the Midday Show, and he talked about, you know, when they had Mixon and Perine, they had a pretty nice mix of being able to run the ball there. So it's not like they're going to come totally abandon the run here. But I do wonder, especially with roster construction too, and that's going to be a big part of it. Are they about to transition to a team that throws the ball a lot more than they have recently? And some of that has to do with Derrick Henry, right? Like, if Derrick Henry isn't here, then naturally you're probably not handing the ball off as much as you have been. But are they about to build an offense that is heavily reliant on the passing game, where you see Will Levis draw back and throw the ball 35, 40 times a game? Is that the way that they want to operate here in terms of the style that they bring their offense with? Like, everybody says they want to be balanced, right? And look, you know, Kyle Shanahan, great play caller, they're balanced. They run the ball very well. They throw it well. There's a lot to be said about that. But, I mean, Cincinnati, they had Burrow, Chase, and Higgins. It made sense for them to throw the ball a lot.
Right.
So I'm interested to see, in terms of, like, Callahan, the way he views offense, and how the way he views the offense influences the roster construction that takes place this offseason and what that translates to.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, let's look at the – I swear this happens every year. I know it's not necessarily the case, but let's look at the Final Four in the NFL right now. What do the Detroit Lions do best?
Run the ball.
They run the freaking ball great. The 49ers run the hell out of the ball. They run it with their receivers, their backs. They have balance, but they run it really well.
Leading rusher in the league. Yep.
I mean, Ravens, yeah, obviously a lot of it is QB run, so it's a little bit different. But still, they run the damn ball. And, you know, a big thing about the Chiefs here, Pacheco has become a monster.
Yeah.
I mean, he has become a terrific complement to Patrick Mahomes. It's so important. So, I mean, the Bengals have had Mixon is probably one of the underrated players in this league, I think. I mean, he's pretty good, man. So it's been a really nice compliment to their passing game. And it's a great question. The modernize the offense stuff drives me crazy. Always will. I mean, we'll 10 years from now, someone will bring it up about Vrabel or whatever, and I'll just like I seriously
finally
hope
blow a gasket.
Like I don't whatever happens.
That
I just,
long fuse will finally wear
yeah,
out.
Yeah, finally, finally come down. I need Vrabel to go. I need Vrabel. Harbaugh's getting the Chargers job, but like to get a job where like the personnel dictates passing and like you'll. Yeah, it'll look different. But, I mean, that's what they were doing before they realized Derrick Henry was good here. But yeah. So, but with Callahan, it is interesting. Clearly, he's had these interviews that people are sharing all the time about how he talks about passing the ball is the most important thing. And he's right. But also he talked about, well, but you can run the ball against these lighter boxes, against lighter defenses. So I think it's – with that roster, they had incredible talent. Like, you're just not often going to have – Chase, Higgins, Boyd, Burrow, right?
Yeah. I mean, all I'm thinking about right now is the Jeremy Pruitt soundbite of, we like to throw the ball and run the ball. It's my belief that you should be able to do both. And
Blake.
Maybe that's the approach
yeah.
from Brian Callahan. We'll
and
see.
When it comes down to it, Jeremy Pruitt knows what he's talking about.
He does. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on Brian Callahan and the newest hire by the Tennessee Titans. What are you most curious about to learn about Brian Callahan as we move forward here? More of your thoughts on that coming up next. Wes Rucker coming up at 7:30. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5, the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Lee in Nashville. Lee, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just wanted to throw out, get your opinion, but, and it's all hypothetical, you know, money would have to work out to have Henry come back on a, maybe a friendly deal. But if you're Callahan, if you look at what you, when you were the most successful with Cincinnati, you had Mixon, you had P. Ryan, right? And that pretty similar to Henry and Tajay. I mean, I think that you could view bringing Henry back as a win-win because it could give you that bridge, maybe a 1 to 2 year bridge, get him maybe some things that he's looking for to finish his career out with, helping the team be more established in the running game, provide Levis still that protection he needs as far as just having a respectable run game, albeit the offensive line, we all know, still needs to be worked out. But he's still been productive, even with that poor offensive line, or maybe unstable offensive line is a better word for it. But I just view it as like if you're coming in as a new coach and you look at a guy that has been the face of the franchise, yeah, his best days are behind him, but probably could make sense to have him there as like that bridge to develop the offense how you want it, because we don't have the receivers that he had in Cincinnati, most obvious statement ever outside of Hopkins, but he's at the end of his career too. Yeah. So I don't know, I just thought it might make sense if they can make the financials work. It could be a win-win for the organization and for Henry and for Callahan.
Yep, thanks for the call, Lee. Appreciate it. I mean, look, I think, you know, if I'm assigning a percentage to it, Joe, I'm probably at over 90% that Derrick Henry's gone. Having said that, I mean, I think a lot of Derrick Henry's future is going to be determined by what exactly does the market say about him? And if the market isn't what he's looking for from a financial perspective, how high would the Titans be willing to go to bring him back? And how low would he be willing to go to accept the deal with a team that he feels like can win a Super Bowl? We talked about his comments last week. He went on Bussin' with the Boys and talked about the Super Bowl part of it and wanting to contend. And, you know, it's not surprising. He also said in those comments that, you know, business is business, and he's not just going to take anything either. So what does the market end up looking like for Henry? And do the Titans have interest in being either at that market or slightly above it to try to bring him back? My gut tells me probably not, based on it's a new coaching staff. Kind of feels like a changing of the guard here with the Titans. It just feels like it's time. It feels like it's time for both sides to move on here. Now, having said all that, Joe, like if the price is close, I'm with Lee. Like I would consider it if I'm the Titans, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, I don't know, but I don't think it'll get to that. I think he'll sign with somebody else. I think he'll get not a great deal, but at this point, I just have to think that Derrick Henry and his agent are realistic about what to expect, and I think he did well enough this year that that he'll get a good enough deal from someone he believes can contend next season, and then that'll be it. So I don't think it'll get to that. If it does get to that, I think this hire also now reduces the possibility. Yes, caller, you could look at the backs in Cincinnati and kind of compare them to this too, but there's still a pass catching element with both of those guys that you don't have with Derrick Henry. I don't know. I don't think Brian Callahan would want the chunk of money. Again, it's not a big chunk, and they do have cap space, a lot of cap space.
They do.
But I feel like Derrick Henry seeing this hire probably also makes him a little more resolved to, like, you got to pick a place and not even let it get back to this.
Well, so I kind of feel like he's already there, right? Like,
I think so.
Yeah.
But, I mean, now maybe this is probably a very simplistic way of looking at it, but if they had hired a defensive coach, then I would have felt better about them possibly being interested in Derrick Henry than an offensive coach. Because all the offensive coaches want to throw to all their backs.
Right.
And defensive coaches I can see being a little bit more like, man, have a 260-pound running back in the fourth quarter to help my defense. Again, it's a simplistic way to look at it, but that's – to me, I think that this reduces the potential even more, and it was already low.
Well, and I wonder too, like, as vast as the needs are for this Titans team, like, if you are moving on from Derrick Henry, you have Spears – but you're also going to need another running back, right? Like,
yes.
You're going to need, whether that's in the draft or in free agency, if Henry's gone, you got to bring somebody else in behind Spears. Even if you view Spears as like you're now quote-unquote every down back, you need somebody else back there that is not on the roster. Like, you know, they have other backs, but they need to go invest in that if it's going to be Henry gone. And I'm not talking a first-round pick or anything like that, but
yeah, well,
somewhere.
And ideally, it's a draft. After the draft, they're going to get into the rotation that most teams are in now, which is go find a back, usually in third or fourth round, something like that. Good player for a few years, and go do it again and do it again. I mean, I don't even know in free agency.
Yeah, I mean, you go get Foreman, bring him back.
He is a good player.
Yeah,
of course, if you're going to do that, then get Derrick Henry.
Exactly.
If you're going to do Foreman.
Exactly. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Wes Rucker from GoVols 24/7. Big week for the Vols on the hardwood, also on the recruiting trail for Josh Heupel as well. We'll get Wes's thoughts on all that. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you. On this Wednesday morning, Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com has graced us with his presence in studio as well. We'll hear from him here shortly. Scheduled to be joined by Wes Rucker. We are efforting Wes as we speak. Joe's been a big week for the Vols to this point. Dominating on the hardwood and then on the recruiting trail. Pick up another five-star quarterback, and we talked about the transfer portal earlier this week. Getting heard from LSU, five-star offensive tackle. Things are coming up roses right now for Tennessee Athletics.
I tell you what, yeah, it has been a week. I mean, you go to it wasn't a surprise by the time George McIntyre committed Monday. I think everybody was kind of expecting that, but it's a huge, huge commitment for the Vols. They have a five-star. Now, again, we talked about it, but five stars, then you get into college, and then we find out. But it's a really nice ad in the portal. Heard from LSU, who I think is going to be the left tackle, and they've got guys coming back too officially now. So basically, John Campbell I think goes to right tackle.
Yep.
I still question the depth a little bit, but that's a pretty good. If Heard is good as people hope, that's a nice bonus for Nico next year. And of course,
Cooper Mays coming back for his 17th year of college.
That's right. Yes, Spraggins Mays. So. Yeah, and then, look, Say what you will. I know until something changes in March, people will always have that as a response. But this Tennessee basketball team is legit, man. Totally legit. I'm telling you.
Natty.
I swear. I didn't say that, but you know, this is his best chance. He's had good chances. He had a really good chance in Kennedy Chandler's year when they lost to Michigan. That team was good enough. But Kennedy Chandler is a freshman, and again, there's a lot of the same guys. Talk about guys who've been in college 19 years. I mean, you know, Josiah and Santi are they're about to retire with Rick Barnes
in
a couple of years. But Dalton Knecht is not what Kennedy Chandler was a freshman. It's a different deal. You're talking about a lottery guy who can get you a bucket whenever you need it.
Yeah, I mean they look really good. Knecht is the difference, right? I mean. That's what makes them – I mean, the depth is really good, but also the ability to turn to a guy that can go get you a bucket you feel like at any point is what they've not had. And that's been the – and even now, like Vescovy and James are so inconsistent offensively in terms of what you're going to get from them. And right now what they're asking them to do offensively is not the same as what they've done in years past, right? Like they used to have to rely on those two. And it's not that they don't rely on them anymore, but it's to a different level. I mean, you've got Ziegler playing well, Adu playing really well right now, and then Knecht is putting up 28, 30 a game, and that's the difference.
Well, and Jemai Meshack might be as good at, here, just go. If there's a perimeter player on the other team, go.
Yeah.
Just sick him. He's a fantastic, one of the best defenders in college basketball. He'll go in and hit a shot here or there, too. Gainey hit a shot. But Adu is also the best five that Rick Barnes has had. And that's a great example of, 2 years ago as a freshman on that team that I think was good enough. He played length, could protect the rim, could do some things. He has developed so much as a post scorer now. So, really, he's Knecht's Robin with, of course, Ziegler running the whole show. They have the metrics. Yeah, most teams that get to the Final Four and win it are top 30 in D and offense efficiency, and the Vols are top 20. They've been there in D year after year. Then they're like number two now again. The one team that wasn't there on D was the Grant Williams team. They were like 65th, which is weird. They fell off big time defensively that year. This team has both things.
Yep. It's going to be interesting to watch. So you got that going on, and then apparently Josh Heupel – good at recruiting five-star quarterbacks. So we'll see how that ends up playing out with Nico as a starter this fall and George McIntyre committing earlier this week for the Vols. Big week for Tennessee. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com with us now on the program. PK, good morning. How are you?
Gentlemen. I'm well. The traffic, surprisingly good with school back. Joe's kids in school at a reasonable hour today, so he didn't have to run out on us like he did for something yesterday.
He did.
So, all good. I noticed no rant on the agenda today, so just fearful.
Oh, we got a rant coming. We got a rant coming.
Yeah. It wasn't on what I was sent.
Who sent you something? I don't send you anything.
Robbie and I sometimes have conversations.
Robbie sent you a fake script for the show?
Yeah. Robbie and I sometimes have conversations that don't involve you. It's for the good of the show. Don't worry.
It's very worrisome to me. That's very
well, the worry's already started.
Now PK walks in.
Yesterday he left. Now he's walked in. He's like, oh, boy. Oh, boy. PK's here. PK's here.
I thought this segment we were going to be talking to Wes, but instead we're talking to PK early. I got to transition my brain to that. It's a very different feel, you know.
I think these are the sorts of things that Robbie and I talk
about. Well, it is. It is. All the time. PK, how's it feel to be out of the house?
It's very nice. I've been out of the house a little bit, but I will say this COVID event, it was not nearly as pleasant as the first COVID event, which was much shorter, and I still have some tiredness. And the thing about me is I'm a guy that'll take a nap.
Yeah.
On a regular day. So now when I'm looked down upon in my household for taking a nap, I'm like, hey, this is a different kind of nap.
Exactly.
This is a post-COVID tiredness nap. This is not a...
Gotta recover, man.
Hey, like I see a window PK here nap. Where I can lay down.
Yeah. Well, so you're looked down upon?
Oh, I'm looked down upon. Yeah. I mean... just period.
I get it. Yeah. No, believe me. I know how that goes. So you're still having
tiredness.
Yeah.
And I went to work out Monday and really had to bow out in the second segment. Like the coach came over and gave me a thumbs up, and I'm like, yeah, oh yeah, I'm good. I'm just done.
So we'll get to your thoughts on the actual hiring of Brian Callahan and everything that goes into that here in just a few minutes. I do want to ask you both right now because a lot of people are asking about us on the text line so far today. What do you guys make of why we've not heard anything official from the Titans yet? And is there an expectation that could be coming today? What's your read on why we haven't heard anything, I guess, officially from the Tennessee Titans to this point?
Before you answer, PK, so I theorized. I was like, maybe because sometimes HR gets started on stuff. If you know you're going to do something, it was so, okay, you can't leave. And so it's just taking longer to get the HR stuff done.
I think it'll be announced today. And I think the Titans historically are slow. This was an Underwood thing, and he was a lawyer, and it was very kind of slow and meticulous on dotting the I's and crossing the T's. They're certainly different now with a new president in Burke Nihil, but I just think there were things to sort out in terms of the overall structure beyond just Callahan's deal. And so all of that's been sorted out over the last couple days, and I think the announcement will tell us more than just, hey, Brian Callahan's officially the new coach of the Tennessee Titans. She made some promises, Amy Adams Strunk, in her hostage video. and I don't know what was in the hostage video and what was in her statement. But between the two, she made some promises.
Yeah.
I don't expect her to be at his press conference. And so I would think that stuff's going to be answered in what we hear.
In this release.
Yeah.
Why would she not be at his press conference?
She doesn't talk to the media.
But
I don't think she's going to be there either.
I mean, she might be there in introducing him and stepping away.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's what I expect.
But she's not answering questions.
Well, no, that's what she did with Rand Carthon last year, too. But don't you think it would be bizarre for her not to be present?
Yeah, I mean, I do think in this situation where she doesn't have to answer questions, I think she should be present and introduce him and then step away and watch from the corner. But there'll still be cameras taking pictures of her and the like, and I just think she's very uncomfortable with that at this stage.
Is it your camera in particular she's uncomfortable with?
I don't know why. I have a good relationship with Amy Adams Strunk, so I do not think it's my camera, and I'll be focused on this
day. Does that joke just go over your head? I mean, what are we doing here?
Yeah, she does not disrobe anywhere near me.
See, the thing is, you didn't have to take it to that. Like, first you let it go over your head, and then you take it too far.
God. Yeah. Listen, there is a joke to be sustained out of this, but you fail. You failed miserably.
Robbie's reaction tells me when I fail or don't. Believe me, I do not fail.
No, keep it going.
You can keep it going.
There's no failures.
But the funniness to it is that you failed to sustain the joke, is the funniness of you joking about it. Like, 9 out of 10 people listening right now have no idea what you're talking about.
You are trying to come up with a catchphrase to it, though, that we've not been able to quite nail down.
And this dates back to training camp, so you're 6 months removed.
Yeah, look,
from
man,
a thing that nobody knows.
You can
what
say
you're
whatever
about.
You want. So I promise you, the listeners know what we're talking about, and they're laughing at you. Thank you. Enjoy.
So, if you're a Titans fan, freaking out that Brian Callahan has not been officially announced yet.
Don't freak out.
It's going to be okay. Yes. There's multiple conversations that have been had that it's happening. So just calm down.
I wondered last night. I got to bed quite early, but I wondered last night, Titan Twitter going to just start going nuts?
They did last night.
Happening?
I saw it. Like, why is this not? Why are they not announcing anything yet?
Twitter needs to remain calm.
Usually is one day, though, and this is two.
That is true.
It's like that extra day before they fired Vrabel. You know, just give everybody a day to sit around and wonder what's happening.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad, which is taking place. We'll get into that next.
Oh,
this is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, the game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
On Robbie and Rexroad, here on ESPN, 1025, the game, and the Game Nashville app.
You know, obviously they made some plays. We had a hard time staying in front of them at the end of the day. I'm just sick and tired of our guys getting smashed down there. Smashed! We'll get ready to play Tennessee. We were incredibly outmanned at the end. Had four guys on the bench in foul trouble. Joke!
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Robbie Stanley, Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com, Nick Kieser, and Joe Rexrode here on the program. Joseph, the floor is yours.
Just want to point out Matt from Camden on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. PK is just trying to kill the joke. It's still funny. Keep it going. Ha, 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 ha. Yes.
And we know for every person that texts in, another, it's representative of about 100 people that don't text in who don't get
the silent majority
joke.
Is like, I don't know. What are they talking about? I have no idea. Okay. So actually, this is going to this is probably a rant that will trigger PK, I hope.
Okay.
Oh, that's the goal.
Yes. But it's kind of a re-rant, but we keep getting new fantastic examples. One is Jim Harbaugh. I got some friends up in Michigan, Detroit media, who put out comments to the effect of, you know, Jim Harbaugh really wants to stay at Michigan. People close to Jim Harbaugh say he really wants to stay at Michigan. My guy Nick Baumgartner laid it out very, very simply here in the last day. If Jim Harbaugh gets an offer from the L.A. Chargers, he's gone just as he would have been the last 2 years had he gotten an offer from an NFL team. He's been trying for 3 years to go to the NFL. He hasn't gotten an offer. In the meantime, a great gift to Michigan fans. He won a national championship. He's done a great job there. However you want to say he's done it. And for the most part, you know, I'm not saying it's the Connor Stallions then Harbaugh. But Harbaugh won a natty. He's trying to get to the NFL. I think he'll probably be announced today. Come on. Like he's actually – like he wants to – stop it. It reminds me of this tweet from Tom Pelissero. Did you see this one on January 21st, PK? I think Pelissero is the leader in letting agents just write absolute tweets for him. Here, let me read a tweet for you from Tom Pelissero. Quote, Eagles senior defensive assistant Matt Patricia is not under contract, plans to explore other opportunities, sources tell me in at Rap Sheet. Patricia took on play calling last month under difficult circumstances, running someone else's scheme with a depleted unit. He'll be a top DC candidate. End quote.
Dear God. Dear God.
I have nothing else to say. PK, take it over.
People are losing jobs at the LA Times and Sports Illustrated.
Yep.
And here's a guy just handing his – I mean, that agent might have access to Pelissero's Twitter account.
Right, I think it sounds like. I think he has his password. Accent. He has his password. Yeah, yeah. So it's just those aren't the exact same thing. I mean, look, if you're, I think
I want that.
Everybody
tweet.
Gets
to retweet that and say, does the agent just have access to?
So
your
you miss that one? That's a beaut. Yeah, that's a beaut, that. Man. Pelissero's got some beauts with just having letting the agents run wild on the Twitter account, but it's not the exact same thing. Look, if you're told something, I mean, you're told something, right?
Sure.
And if you talk to Harbaugh and Harbaugh says to you, hey, I really want to stay at Michigan. Okay, well, I mean, he said it. But also, like, you kind of look at – you have to sometimes look at the whole thing and use some judgment. Now, the Pelissero thing is a little different, but my God, man.
This is not very, God. Like, the Harbaugh stuff's not very difficult, right? Like, he's been trying to get back in the NFL. He tried to get the Broncos job last year, which we've talked about with Charles Robinson. They didn't offer him the job. They end up with Sean Payton, and now he's trying to get back in again. He also knows that there's going to be at least more investigation and potentially more punishment coming from the situation that he just got out of in Michigan. So he's trying to get out.
Nothing,
this is not that hard.
Nothing is cuter than a college football fan believing that his coach really had, you know, even an alumni coach is going to stay, really loves our program. Like, it means something more to him than the $13 million average salary at L.A. And he prefers Ann Arbor to Laguna Beach and having Herbert under contract as opposed to recruiting and doing NIL and the year-round job at Ann Arbor as opposed to the seasonal work of the NFL. No, he really wants to be here. These reports, I mean, they're just blowing this out of proportion. He's definitely coming. It's so cute. I would love for somebody that believes that to call. I would love to talk. to one of these naive Michiganders.
I promise you there are people. Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
call
I
in.
Believe there are. Call they. In. I just think they're so cute and naive. Most of them, like I, this I think of, like most of them I think of as, I don't know what animal. These are more like cute little hamsters, these kind of fans.
Cute little hamsters. They got the wheel spinning.
Yeah.
The look.
Yeah, they just they're more like goldfish, like fans. That. Get goldfish that have no brain and no memory.
I don't know if I want to turn this into like a bashing Pelissero, Schefter, Rappaport segment,
no,
but I will.
That's always fun.
But it is like, look, those guys break news. They have good information at times. They obviously come out with a lot of things. But some of the tweets they come out with, like you know, Schefter and Rappaport of just the. Like, even the Rappaport one from Vrabel a couple weeks ago, of, well, he was presented with a couple of things. What?
Well, that was bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and I don't think true.
No.
I don't think they got to – I'm pretty sure they didn't get to a level. And Joe, you're more inside on this than I am. I don't think they got to that point.
No. It was told – it was him. That was – but that, see, the thing is, he didn't write that.
No, he said it.
Right. So that's an example of someone just sort of on TV. Yeah, I presented a couple things. Right. Blah, blah, blah. What? No.
Then somebody else picks it up and tweets it.
Exactly.
And then he's
it's
got
inaccurate.
The deniability.
Thanks for bringing that
Here's
one up.
The
I
other
forgot
thing.
About that one.
While we're on these guys, and I was talking about this with a friend of mine, an insider, this week. Schefter's speed, like we all get the email that says the Titans have completed an interview with Mike McDonald. His ability to turn that around and get that out ahead of me, ahead of most Titans media, to get the same email, I don't think he's getting – I'm positive he's not getting that in advance, okay? So first off, I get Titans emails slowly. So I know I'm not going to be the first one to tweet that because I got like a two-minute lag time for Titans PR emails, all right? But maybe you get
they
it faster.
Schedule PKs.
Right, yeah, let his go a little bit later. Yeah.
But for people who get it in real time to turn it around and get it out, they're getting beat by Schefter. I wonder if he's got some kind of automated thing, that high-tech automated thing that other people don't even know exists, that take an email like that, that he's got set to turn it around and spit it out on Twitter in no time. That beats people on something as simple as a Titans email about a candidate that's interviewed. That's not in any way possible to be exclusive, but that he's got out milliseconds before the fastest Titans beat writer turns it around and gets it out.
Some AI Schefter.
There
yes.
you go.
I like it.
I think it's totally conceivable.
Yeah.
I got a texture that says someone needs to inform PK. This guy named Kirby Smart, who's an alumni, and will not be leaving Georgia.
Ooh.
I don't think that was the point.
I'm not saying there aren't guys like that. I'm saying when your guy starts to dabble with the NFL and it's clear he's leaving, and you do the thing, no, he's not leaving. Come on.
I mean, he's
come on, guys. He's not going to leave. He's our guy.
By the way, he wants in the contract that he has complete immunity from whatever may be coming from the NCAA. I mean, it's
like you watching a spy movie and you're making a deal with
the
government,
which
the
is
Chargers,
hilarious. When
how can the Chargers give him that?
Well, not the Chargers. Oh, I'm talking about Michigan.
If he
were to come back, Michigan basically give him a complete immunity, which, of course, the guy who says, we did nothing wrong.
What are you talking about?
My contract better say that I'm completely, I'm immune from any punishment.
Well, I hope there's something bad enough that he would wind up in court where he can't be granted immunity by Michigan because Michigan is not the state of Michigan, actually, and is not the feds. I hope there's a federal crime.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think we have a
Your Honor, the University of Michigan granted me immunity.
My contract says.
Oh, God, here comes a text line. Here comes a phone.
Oh, boy.
My contract says that you can't do anything. That's awesome. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll get PK's thoughts on the hiring of Brian Callahan. What does this mean for the Titans and their path forward? All that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.